This morning, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. I love this time of year. I love springtime. New birth, grass, flowers blooming, just things warming up. Just life, just new life. Everywhere you look, God reminds us that there's life. And then, as already been sang about and from the kids and the choir and specials as well, Hosanna, where Jesus, and Brother Jackie mentioned, where Jesus rode into the town and they worshiped him, crying Hosanna and praised him. But that worship and praise would not last long. He had his face set like a flint, headed for that purpose, and that purpose was to die. He came to die. He was born to die. And this week, as Brother Jackie alluded to, probably is not the actual week out of the year when Jesus went to the cross and died. I'm not sure when that week was. It varies from person to person. But it really doesn't matter. The fact of when it happened doesn't matter as much as that it happened. And that he did go to a hill called Calvary, a hill called Golgotha, and he suffered, bled, and died for the sins of the world. And not just the sins of the world, but for your sin and for mine. And he paid that sin debt. And this being the week leading into what we celebrate as Easter, the greatest, absolutely greatest day throughout all of history was the day that God himself come victorious up out of the grave, living, alive. The Bible said in Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, but am alive forevermore. And he did die. And that's what this week celebrates. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't before, think about that. The 3 days, you'll hear a lot about Good Friday and all of that. There's a lot to be said there. But this week especially, you should meditate on. If you're saved, and I hope that you are, if you're saved, this week should be sacred to you. Special. Every day's special, but this should be should supersede all other, because this is the week that we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very reason that we're all here in this church building is because we're celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? What is the death, burial, and resurrection? It is the gospel. The gospel, the good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else has ever claimed to have done such. Every other god, little G-O-D, is dead and already in hell, but the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave for me and for you. And we have reason to celebrate. We have reason to celebrate life, not just life. Jesus said, I didn't come just to give you life. I come to give you life more abundantly. And even went a step further than that and said, I give you eternal life. Life everlasting. Hallelujah. So there's millions gathered about 2.5 hours down the road south of us in Augusta, Georgia today. Scattered all over a golf course at Augusta National. And they are watching somebody hit a golf ball and chasing their favorite player around. and they're celebrating and they're pulling for who they want to win. And here we sit this morning in the house of God, and sadly, there will be more roars and more applause in the crowd at a golf course over a man hitting a ball into a hole than there will be from true born-again believers who are celebrating the fact that Jesus was dead, but He rose again, giving us victory over sin and hell and salvation. We should glory in that. We should not sit back like we in some kind of monastery and we a bunch of monks. No, my friend. Listen, I am saved and I'm glad about it. I'm saved and my sins are forgiven and I'm glad about it. And God forbid that I would be so reserved and dignified that I could only offer up to God a simple amen, hallelujah. No, no. You get excited over what you love. I've met a few people, and I know a couple I could count on one hand who I've never seen shout anywhere about anything. And I ain't going to call names. Some of them a couple of them are in this room, and I've never heard their voice raised ever about anything, about their favorite football team, about their favorite race car driver, nothing, not even with their wife. I'm being sincere. And so I can't call that person a hypocrite for them not being emotional and shouting and raising their voice and getting excited, because that's who they are and that's how they are consistently. But when I see some people go to a ball game and have to pick their tonsils and lungs up off the ground when they leave and have no voice left whatsoever because their favorite team did good, and then they come to church and say it like a knot on a log. Your priorities are wrong. Way out of order. I mean, all Jesus done for you was save you forever. All He did was forgive your sins, not one, but all of them. All He did was make sure you was hell-proof and heaven-bound. That's all He did. Nothing to be excited about here. No, no, no wonder the world don't want what we have. They come into church and see us look like we are just forced to be here. Like we have been mandated to be here. Listen, I want to tell you something. God bless your heart this morning. I know we're about to have communion. I usually am a lot more reserved and I usually don't even preach. When we have communion and put all the focus, and we're going to shortly. But I want to tell you something this morning. I'm not going to apologize to you that I'm excited over the fact that I'll never go to hell. I'm not going to back up and say I'm sorry. And I know this is Sunday morning. This is when the visitors come, and we should be, inviting and be sort of dignified and inviting to those who would come in and visit. But this is what I've come to believe, and I trust and know in my heart that I'm not going to put on a show for anybody. I mean, if you don't like what we are on Sunday night, then you're probably not going to hang around long anyway. So I might as well be who I am on Sunday morning and worship Him and praise Him. And if I want to shout or lift my hand and say, thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood and saving my soul and forgiving me such a wretch like me, then I'm going to do it in spite of you, out the devil, and a million more like you, because you didn't save me. You didn't die for me. You didn't sacrifice for me. No, He did. And so I'm not worshiping you. I'm not going to rob Him of His praise so I don't offend somebody.
Amen.
And neither should you.
Thank you, Lord.
Neither should you. Amen. Amen. That's right. The reason this world don't want to have anything to do with most churches is because we are so dead. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, said something this morning that he was missing another friend of ours that's in heaven, Brother Brown, Larry Brown, our pastor, former pastor, and he He said, I woke up this morning, I wanted to call Brother Brown and talk to him about our messages and life, and just missed him. And I said, we would laugh. And he said, I about every time we'd talk, he'd say, what you preaching this morning, son? And he said, I got something, but this is dry as cracker juice. I don't think it's going to get off the ground. And chuckle. But our churches don't need to be dry. What we're celebrating, there's nothing dry or stagnant or dead about what Jesus did.
Yes, right.
Oh, he did die. But he didn't just die. He died, he shed his blood, he gave his body to the smiters, they plowed furrows on his back, they plucked his beard. I mean, it was gruesome, it was awful. But that ain't the end of the story. Oh yes, Calvary happened, the cross happened, and praise God for the cross, and thank God for Calvary, thank God for Jesus, and the nails that were put into his hands and feet, and the spear that rent his side, and thank God for all that he suffered and for us, and bled and died, thank God for that. But if you'll recall what I said a moment ago, next Sunday is when we'll be celebrating the greatest day in all of history. And I used to believe that was when Jesus died on the cross. And I do believe that's the second greatest day in all of history. But that day would be irrelevant, Brother Ned, had it not been for the day that come 3 days and nights after, which was the day that he come up out of the grave, victorious. And because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Because he lives, you can live. Because he lives, you can live not just here, but hereafter.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, that's right. Well, that wasn't even remotely part of the message, but I got stirred up thinking about it. Let's look at the Bible this morning for a minute. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. If you got your Bible, turn there. I only give you about 15 or 20 minutes to get there, so you should be there by now. The Bible says, there, say amen. 1 Corinthians. Did I say something else? I'm sorry. See, Jenny, I do make mistakes every now and then. I'm just kidding. No. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you get there, stand to your feet. We'll reverence God's word and give you a moment to stretch. I know about half of you's had knee replacement and you enjoy this part of the service. Say amen, Steve. Brother Ned, that's right. Amen. Verse 23, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." I'm going to pause there, remain standing. I'm going to pause there. We'll come back and reread these verses at the conclusion of this brief message I give you. But I want to continue reading a few more verses to put in context just how serious this service is. God went out of his way to tell us how Jesus conducted the very first communion, the very first Lord's Supper. He told us how Jesus done it, and he set the precedent and how we should conduct ourselves and do it. As often as we do it, we should do it this way. But then God said, I need to add something to that. I need to let the believers know. By the way, if you are lost, if you've never been saved, If you even are unsure of your salvation, I would encourage you, do not, this is not for you. This is not for you. What we are going to do this morning is for believers, for saved people. If you're not saved, I strongly encourage you, get saved. Then you'll understand. Because if you're unsaved, what we're going to do this morning, you will get a cracker and you'll get a drink of juice, and that's all that it will mean to you. And you will have no deeper understanding of what we will partake in just a few minutes. But this that we're about to read is not written to lost people. It's written to believers, saved people. So I want you to please give me your, and God, your undivided attention as I read these next few verses. Wherefore, verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, listen, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What a statement. What an indictment. And it goes on in verse 28. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh, listen, damnation to himself. Damnation. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Listen. And many sleep. That is not taking a nap. That is death. Many saved people. Many believers who partook in what we are about to do had sin in their life, had unconfessed sin in their life, had and partook, and while partaking, whether it was just to be part of the crowd, whether it was so somebody on their pew did not want them want to see that they didn't partake and that they might have sin in their life, and they partook of that cup of the that represents the blood of Christ and partook of that wafer that represents the body of Christ. They drank and they partook unto themselves damnation that made many sick and many died at the judgment of God because they were not willing to judge themselves. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. For if we, listen, this is the answer. Say, what do I do if that's me this morning? What do I do? One's already doing it. One's already in the altar, which I will join him shortly. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You can have a seat. I have a message. It's alliterated and outlined and homiletically sound and hermeneutically proved. I mean, it's how it should be prepared. But I'm going to deviate from that and try to mind the Lord this morning. The Scripture, the Word of God that we just read together, really doesn't need much expounding. It really doesn't need much added to it. Jesus said, as often as you do this, like you'll see on every communion table in every church that I know of, this do in remembrance of me. This service this morning is not about me. This service this morning is not about you. This service this morning is about Jesus and Jesus alone. Remembering the great sacrifice. Remembering the great agony and pathos that Jesus suffered for me and for you. Willingly put his body and willingly gave his body to the smiters and willingly left the portals of heaven and willingly came to this earth where he knew he would be hated, ridiculed, despised, and mocked and spit upon and pluck his beard and the cat of nine tails on his back and beaten to where the Bible said that his visage was marred. You couldn't even recognize him. His back, his organs were hanging out of him before he was ever even put on the cross. And then every time he would pull himself up to get a breath and drop back down, all the nerves and all the agony and the pain we cannot even describe in the English language. And he would drop back down only to suffocate. And then to pull himself back up that rugged cross as his back was just rubbing up that rugged cross just to get another breath before he would drop back down, up and down until he died for me and for you. Amen. To satisfy the sovereign God, the holy God of heaven, who demands perfection, who demands holiness, and who demands righteousness. If there's ever going to be a way that sinful man could be connected with a holy God, there had to be a payment made, and it couldn't just be a turtle dove. It couldn't just be the blood of goats and heifers and cow, and it couldn't just be the blood of sheep and lambs. It had to be the blood of the Lamb of God who come to take away the sin of the world, who had perfect, pure blood. And who was willing to do that for me and for you. And so it's for him this morning that we come to remember. It is a solemn, holy day. Anytime we receive and partake of the Lord's Supper, it's not a day that we... I would never... Some denominations and churches have this on a routine schedule. Some have it every service. And I never want to make this commonplace or normal, because this is abnormal. Amen. The Lord went out of His way to take Scripture to tell us that this, as often as you do it, it should be special. It should be a sober time. It should be a time of reflection. Before we ever get to that, it should be a time that we would get on our knees and bow before the God of heaven and say, "Search me, O God, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Because I do not want to partake of this unworthily." And I don't care who you are. I'm the preacher. And I'll tell you right now, if I have a doubt in my mind, if I'm not sure in my heart that I am right with God and that I stand at one with God and that sin is not reigning in my members and in my body, that I have not been willing to repent of and confess it to God and be cleansed of it, I'll stand in front of the whole congregation, and I have before, and put the cup aside and put the wafer beside and did not partake. And I would strongly encourage you, do not let your pride get you in deep trouble with God. Amen. This is not to be toyed and tampered with. This is not a game. Amen. Parents, please don't let your children that are not saved or are not of the age and don't know, this is not a time for them to play with the Lord's body and blood. No, this is a holy thing to believers only, and not just to believers only, but to believers who are right with God and who was willing to get before God and take a moment before God and say, "Lord, search me. Try me. Try my thoughts. Try my heart. Lord, if I've got an ought with my brother or my sister that's unresolved, if I've got unforgiveness in my heart..." Listen, you didn't have to go out last night drinking to make this unworthy for you to take this. You didn't have to shoot dope in your vein or go out on a cussing spree last night. You can be sitting here and have never put a cigarette to your mouth, never put a beer can to your mouth, never uttered a cuss word, and you could be sitting here saved and still drink and partake unworthily and bring damnation to yourself because you have unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. Oh, we categorize sin and we think this is bad and that's bad and it's like that sin is here and then here, but my little old me having a problem with her and what she said or what he did, well, God don't look too bad. No, God does look bad on that, and he looks, what he said, these things do I hate, but this, pride is an abomination. I'm saying don't just look for the fluorescent sins in your life that everybody would see and point out and say, boy, that's a sin. No. And by the way, don't be looking around the church this morning to see who is and who ain't partaking. You better be worried about you this morning. You ain't got not even a millisecond of time to be worried about what somebody else is doing. You better be worried about your relationship with God and where you stand this morning. I don't want to see any of you get sick. I sure don't want to be preaching any of you's funeral because you drank and partook damnation unto yourself and partook of the Lord's Supper unworthy. Do you believe the Bible? I didn't make this up. I didn't come up with this. God was clear, and God said what he meant and meant what he said and gave us warning. And already there's been several bowed while I've been preaching on their knees. Some are praying now. And I'm going to give you the moment to do that, and I plead with you. Search your heart, and God ain't up in heaven playing games, peekaboo with you. If you come to God and say, Lord, here I am. Yes, sir. I don't want to take this unworthily. I want to honor you, Lord. I want this to be a serious time that I get close to you, God, and you show me and you reveal to me if I've got sin in my heart, if I've got unforgiveness in my heart, if I've been bitter, Lord, if I've been wrong, if I've said things I shouldn't, if I've gossiped, if I've complained and backbiting. Lord, show it to me, and if you reveal it to me, and he will, the Holy Spirit of God's faithful, he will reprove you and reveal to you your sin. And when he does, be a Christian enough and love Jesus, the one who we're here to celebrate, enough for the sacrifice he made for you. Be a Christian enough to get up out of your seat and come bow on an old-fashioned altar and say, God, forgive me. I want to partake of the Lord's Supper. I want to remember you, not so people can see me, but because you see me. And I want to be right with you, and I want to remember you. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. These altars are open. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come to you, Lord, as honestly, as humbly as we know how. God, I ask you, Lord, right now, as these altars are filling, God, I'm about to get into myself for my own personal needs, Lord. But I pray that you wouldn't let one person here today partake of this sacred time and bring damnation and judgment from you. Lord, help us all to judge our own self so we don't have to come under judgment from you. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Reveal to us, Holy Spirit of God. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. God, not to just take this time lightly and confess a sin, God, but truly repent of our sin and be sorry and have godly remorse and contrition over our sin to get it right. Lord, understanding and realizing it was our sin that nailed you to the cross, Lord. Oh, God, it was my sin. It was my sin, Lord, that caused this to happen to you. And I pray, oh, God, you would help us, Lord, to be simple-minded, Lord, to be serious-minded during these next few moments as we all bow and pray to get our hearts and right with you, Lord, as we remember you. As these are praying, you continue praying. I remember being a child and where I went to church as a child at Hammock Grove, the old church. Some of you remember. I remember laying on the floor while and running my fingers up through those little holes in the back of the pew, playing. Not knowing, I thought, why would these holes be here? Surely just for kids to put their fingers in them. That's all I knew. And then I remember just snapshots of memory that I remember services like this, and grown-ups would get a cup. And I remember it being a serious time. And as a child, I remember it was different. And then I'd see them put the cups in those little holes in the back of the pew. And parents, I encourage you, please teach your children. Go home today and teach them what this day is about. Tell them, explain to them what this is all about. That's way more than crackers and juice. Lord willing, I'll be going later this week to the nursing home and serving them communion. They've not had it in a long, long time. And that's a great honor and privilege to be able to serve those people, as it is this morning to be able to take part in this service. And we're going to do that at this time. I'm going to ask the deacons and that'll help y'all make your way up, and we'll serve at this time. You come on, fellas. Brother Jimmy left. Brother Jackie, if you'll come and help too. Oh. Yeah. What we're about to partake when it comes to this wafer, this cracker, that represents the body of the Lord Jesus, and then we'll serve and bring that to you, and then we'll partake of that, and then we will do the same with the cup. And we'll pray again, thank the Lord for His blood. This cup represents the precious, Peter called it the precious blood. And it is precious. And it is powerful blood, and it's pure blood. And we'll pray and thank God and then serve you with that. So let's see. Brother Roy, if you would, thank the Lord for the blood, for the body of Jesus. It says again, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Amen. In manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Came to tears thinking about the body of our Lord being crushed and bruised and beaten, and then thinking about the precious blood of Jesus and the power to wash away the sins of the world. And we live in a world with over 7 billion people And yet God, many, most, do not know the Lord Jesus. By far the most. Many have never heard the gospel. And here you sit on a Sunday morning with the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, saved and on your way to heaven. And you and I should be the most grateful people on this planet that we heard the glorious news that Jesus saves. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As I said earlier, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And my, what a day. What a day to celebrate Him. And I encourage you, as we all need reminding of it, don't just remember Him today. While this is special, but He's special every day. He'll be special this evening. I encourage you, come back this evening and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we'll take the Word of God. We'll sing. Sister Stephanie sang about His blood this morning. The choir did a tremendous job singing. We will worship Him again. The same one who shed His blood, the same one who gave His body. And He, I promise you, He is worthy of our praise and our worship. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name.